Welcome to the first ever Facebook Live of this podcast that's yet to be named. I'm Dana Perino. This is Chris Darwalt. We're at America's election headquarters for Fox News in San Diego. Chris Darwalt, he was a little late getting here, but he made it. Do you want to tell people why you were late?
And this is not, I could describe the map of West Virginia, okay. Which is this.
Okay, but you had to explain to people.
So the cabbie,
not flipping America off.
No. I'm pro-America. The cabbie this morning opened the driver's, the front seat into my finger, and one single drop of blood rolled out of my fingertip, and he looked at me and he said, "Does it hurt?"
Did it?
At that moment, no. But as it would turn out, for the next 15 hours...
That would hurt so bad.
It hurt a lot, and I'm going to lose the nail. And to my children, I say this. If you're going to lose a fingernail, make sure it's the middle one.
Speaking of that, we are here at the last primary.
I know. Well, D.C. is the last primary next week, but yes.
Okay, you always have to, like, one-up.
I know.
But that's true, because Bernie Sanders says he's taken it all the way
to the convention. Right. Even though he's already lost.
Okay.
How funny would it be, by the way, if Ted Cruz was still saying, "I'm contesting D.C. I'm going to go do..." Everybody would laugh him off. But because he's a Democrat, Sanders gets different treatment.
So last night, the AP made an announcement. To me, AP is there to break news.
Right.
So they broke the news that Hillary Clinton, based on their count, had passed the delegate mark.
Right.
But the Clinton camp didn't like that. The Sanders camp didn't like that.
Because they would like to unveil it at whatever point. Guess what? Hillary Clinton's the Democratic nominee. Mm-hmm. She's the first major party nominee to be a woman. Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, Franklin Pierce was... Whatever. I'm not judging him. I didn't come here to say anything bad about Franklin Pierce. But the...
Which bathroom did he...
But,
Chris,
see? That's
she
how...
Is, that's, she Hillary is... Clinton she is the first...
The first time... By the way, and we should point this out. In 1910, the idea that a woman could vote was unthinkable. The idea that a woman could be a major party nominee was beyond unthinkable. And here we are. And America hates her.
Okay, before we get to that, California, you covered politics for a long time because you're like
weird.
Really old. And weird.
I'm like a crust of the... I'm a barnacle on the barnacle.
When is the last time the California primary really mattered? Was it 2008 when Hillary
Clinton
was here?
It was really... In 2008, Obama didn't care. It was really 92.
Okay.
When Bill Clinton was trying to shut it down and finish it off, and he couldn't quite get it done, and guess who was chasing him? He wore a beret, he was bald, and his name was...
I don't know.
Jerry Brown.
Ah, the governor of California.
Yes, the governor of California was giving chase to Bill Clinton in 92. Democrats...
Do you think the beret...
I'm pro-beret, like, as long as it's at a jaunty angle, as long as it's a cockeyed, I'm pro-cockeyed beret, but, France, Bill Clinton in 92 was not the nominee they expected. They expected Mario Cuomo, and that's what they were supposed to do, and Bill Clinton disrupted the Democratic nominating process. The reason the Democrats were willing to talk to Bill Clinton was that Michael Dukakis had... not one. I don't know if you remember that, but he had not won. Neither had Walter Mondale. Walter Mondale lost 49 states. He won his home state of Minnesota. He won the District of Columbia.
He got points on the board.
Well, but remember, and this is important.
America.
This is important, America. The difference between 1980 and 1984 is what? In 1980, the Democrats didn't know they were going to lose.
Right.
So they...
And they lost big.
Well, they lost big, but they preserved governorships and House seats, and they did all that stuff that they were supposed to do. In 1984, they knew they were going to get smoked. So the issue for Republicans is, on the first week of July, second week of July, is it plausible? Is... You were the one who told me this. Well...
Is this my prediction?
Big surprise, and my eldest son's godfather said the same thing to me, and I was probably the same guy that told you that told me, which is big surprise. It's June, it's 45.
Yeah. Right.
Right? The parties are acting like the parties. They're doing what they normally do.
In a very abnormal year.
So
what do we gotta do?
Move because people are actually working around here.
We have to leave.
Doing stuff.
That's how much they care about each other.
Yeah, well, they will listen to this podcast later. Right now, they got to get ready for Brett Bear's hit. And on Megyn Kelly is over there too, so we probably shouldn't yell too loud.
The Megyn Kelly?
Without boring our audience.
That's what we do.
Bernie Sanders says he's going to. Do you think he'll contest the convention?
Or what?
Like, stop.
Or. John Kasich could contest the Republican convention.
But he's not going to.
But he could.
Okay.
He'd have just as good a claim to contest the Republican convention. And here's the big thing for Sanders, and I think this matters a lot. She won't need superdelegates to win.
Okay.
She'll win California. By the way, will you show the people how beautiful this is?
Sure. This is deep.
The full, deep, shocking beauty of this. The thing that happens when you live in America. And by the way, have you read the Mark Twain book?
You really don't want to talk about politics tonight. Have you noticed? Have I read which Mark Twain?
No, what's the politics question? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Did you know I used to live in San Diego? I lived here for 3 years.
I know. Did you read the Mark Twain book?
Which one?
It's the new book. It's called...
I haven't read a new book about Mark Twain.
Dying Laughing or something. It's about... His debts had accumulated. And he couldn't find his way out. He was as good with money as I was. And he needed a way out. And he went on a worldwide speaking tour. And this guy has written a book about it that is...
Are you for a clap?
If you love America, you love Mark Twain. And the great thing about Mark Twain, and San Diego includes this, which is... So we don't deserve how beautiful and how rich the country we inherited is. So we better have a good sense of humor about it. We better have a good attitude about it. We better keep a little chin up.
So we should be better attitude.
Gracious.
Okay.
We should be more Perino love.
The last thing we'll talk about on the Democrats is Hillary Clinton's going to be the nominee.
Yes, she is.
It is
in
historic.
A big way. Yeah.
It's historic. And it'll be 45-45. And around July, and then it's a horse race until November.
So you and I should do another podcast immediately after the 4th of July. Because immediately after the 4th of July, we'll know. Does Donald Trump, and this is true, it's not about whether he acts like a Republican nominee, it's whether Republicans treat him like a nominee.
Okay.
Right now, he's at 86% of Republicans.
That's pretty good.
Well,
it's not good enough.
It's not good enough. He's
where he was a couple months ago.
He's Mitt Romney with a comb over. He's not doing a good enough job.
Okay.
Romney got 93%. That's how many. So the problem for Trump is America is very white. America is as white as I am.
Deeply white,
which is basically two settings, sunburn and skin cancer. Wear your sunscreen and use minerals. But he's not doing well enough with white voters. Trump is struggling with college-educated whites. He's doing exactly the same with black voters and Hispanic voters as Romney did.
Which is not good enough?
Well, it depends on how white the electorate is and how white they are coming out for you. And I think that if Trump wants to win, he needs a white nationalist movement. He needs all the white people to go and march for him, and that's it. I don't.
It's going to be tough.
Well, I mean, it's tough. It's not that it's tough. It's just that it's ugly.
Yeah.
Right. People, Americans don't like to discuss race. They never discuss race.
But they've been talking about race for a week.
We've been talking about race for 50 years.
That's true.
We've been talking about race for 50 that's years.
True.
The reality for Donald Trump is he needs white people to embrace themselves as a race, separate and apart from other people. And
really?
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen.
White people are weird. This is
and
true.
Pale.
But yeah, this is true. White people are weird. Fondue. There's no other way to explain fondue. But for Trump, it's this. He's doing about as well as Romney did with white people without college degrees. He's behind about 20 points with white people without college degrees where Romney was. He needs to do a lot better with the college education.
But what about people who say that he will be able to bring Democrats over, like crossover voters, and also independent voters?
So far, there's not an indication of that. He could, and I think that's the right answer. I think the right answer for him is basically to embrace a white nationalist movement and do what people in South Africa and other countries have done, which is wholly embrace the idea of white people need to get together and be white. And that could bring Minnesota, that could bring New Hampshire, that could bring Maine. There are some northern tier states where if you appeal to the whiteness never counted as an ethnicity before. Trump has identified it, named it, like Jim Webb did with his book. Trump has named whiteness as an ethnicity. If there are enough white people, if he can get enough white people to the polls, they can do it one more time.
And how does that compare to somebody like Hillary Clinton, so the first woman to be a presidential nominee or candidate?
So,
because I feel like Democrats overestimate that, but Republicans underestimate it in terms of the historical nature.
So, if you can tell me how a college-educated woman in Franklin, of any race, of any ethnicity, I don't like race, I like ethnicity. If you can tell me how a college-educated woman in Franklin County, Ohio, is going to vote, then we can drop this election right into the harbor right there and we can be all done. Because it's how they feel. It's how these women feel. And if you think about it this way, so you have one-third of the electorate is always Republican. One-third of the electorate is all... Are those people famous?
No, I don't think so. I think they're guests.
They're just guests? Just guests. I think it may have been Justin Timberlake, and I'm going with that.
Wow, has he aged?
One-third of the people are always Republican.
Yeah.
One-third of the people are always Democrat. We talk about the governing third, or I talk about the governing third, people who are... in their lot. So my father in his life voted one time for not a Republican.
Okay.
My grandfather McCarthy voted one time in his life for not a Democrat.
Okay.
There are people who are, we call these people persuadable voters.
Yes.
And if they reach a consensus, they can slam the door pretty hard. So Trump has two gateways with which through he must pass. The first one is keep the Republicans together, which is the choice he's made, which I think is a mistake, but that's fine. But he's trying to keep the Republicans together, so he's got to say it 86, 88, 89% of Republicans. Keep them together, shame them, humiliate them, Chris Christie them, do that, and then pick up some other people. The next gate that he has to pass through is, are persuadable voters open to talking to him? And so far, that's not true. And I think he needs to start with them a lot sooner.
Does it matter that they're both considered very unlikable, unfavorable, unpopular? I mean, if that's the case, is it a wash?
American politics has failed in a big way. So we have a republic, which is predicated on the idea that we have a republic predicated on the idea of you.
Me?
Yes, which is, in your hometown, people say, or in Wheeling, West Virginia, like, I'm no great shakes, but in Wheeling, West Virginia, people say, I like Chris enough that I think Chris could go do that. And with you, they say, I'm no great shakes, but I like Dana enough that she could go do that. And that's propelled you forward into your career. That's a republic, right? Chosen representatives of the people that go and then participate in the space. The death of expertise, the death of being open to the idea that some people know more about something than others. And you should always stipulate that it's the fault of the people who know more, right? Because they weren't kind to the people who knew less. But here we are. And we're going to have an election, and somebody's going to be president, and it's going to be fun.
Does attacking the media work?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Do you know how much they hate us?
I know.
They hate us
more than Congress.
They hate us like God hates sin. Like, they hate us like the white-hot passion of 10,000 suns. It cannot... The thirst for
hating us... I'm feeling the hate.
The thirst for hating us cannot be slaked.
But it's so important, the media, in my opinion. Journalism.
But we suck, and we've been bad at it. We've been poor custodians. So here's the thing. Wake up in the morning, do a good job.
Do you get the feeling that Chris is giving us some, like, life advice tonight? Now, if you can just stay there for one moment, maybe you can answer this. this question, and I'm going to look at the camera for 1 second. Look behind. Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, can he have an impact on this election?
He will.
He's polling at 8.5%.
He will.
I'm going to look at this. Okay, keep talking.
Do you know what he should have done? Been pro-life. If there was a pro-life candidate who was not a Republican or a Democrat, they would do 12% on the chalk, no problem.
Okay.
And Ben Sasse, by the way, is Johnson curious.
And I, he would vote for Gary Johnson.
And I don't mean that in the Johnson Weld way.
No.
I mean that Ben Sasse is open to the idea of, like, tell me, what do you have? Because the other two...
I can't see that.
But the other two are not acceptable to him. For conservatives, the major party nominees are not okay.
I agree with that, but I can't imagine. Well, I guess you're right. It's interesting because I feel like my dad grew up in Wyoming, Colorado. He grew up in Wyoming.
Have you read her book, by the way?
Have you, and you should.
Have you read And the Good News Is, which is out in paperback now, and will make you, will restore in you the hope that decency is available in American public life.
What I was going to say is I feel like my dad might have been the first libertarian I ever knew, but I didn't know what a libertarian was.
My dad voted for Perot.
My dad did not vote for Perot. I don't think. Dad? Are you watching? Probably not. He might be, but...
I had a Perot sticker on my truck in 92.
Did you
Of course I had a truck. No. It was a brown, we called it Loaf. It was a brown Toyota pickup truck. And it had, definitely had a Perot sticker on it.
What about David French? So he decides that he's not going to run for... What was that all about? I love him. Like, he's a great writer and a really wonderful guy. But that seemed very strange to me.
So David French, as an Army officer, has my eternal gratitude, right? He suited up and he showed up, and I never did.
True.
Right? My generation, my brother and I, are the first males in 15 generations America to not serve. My father did everything he could to make sure that he didn't get his ass shot off in Korea, and my grandfather made sure that he didn't get killed in the First World War. But service was part of the story.
Right.
And David French's service is part of why he's a good man. Bill Kristol, on the other hand, who is a good man, Bill Kristol, on the other hand, should stop.
Right.
Right? So he should stop. It costs, let's be generous and say $300 million.
To run out.
Oh, yeah, you got to get on the ballot.
That's cheap.
No, just to get on the ballot. Because, by the way, if you just... How about this? If I could put Dana Perino on the ballot in 50 states for $300 million, you'd get 17% of the vote.
17%?
Yeah.
I might do it.
I mean, you're small. You're small.
Obviously. That's right. Probably what most people are saying right now. They're like, wow, she is so short.
Then what they're saying is, I did not know that Starwalt was as big of a mammal as they had said.
And she's wearing heels. Let me ask you something about Bernie Sanders. I feel like he's gotten a pass with the media this whole time. But starting tomorrow morning, when he obviously cannot become the nominee, does that media attention of him stop?
Yeah, nobody cares. It's like the way they've dealt with Trump. They enjoyed Trump when he was destroying the Republican Party. That was
fun.
And now it's like, this is, well, I for one, am shocked. Shocked, says the broadcast media. And I get it. It's cool. I'm not mad. I'm a little mad, but me being mad doesn't matter. What's the truth is this is how they do it, and they're going to drop nuclear bombs on Trump's head for 170 days.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you would like to talk about?
No. Do you have a trivia question?
I have a trivia question.
To shame me. With which to shame me.
So we have a tradition in this podcast where we ask a trivia question of Chris. You have a very, very good track record.
Sometimes you mess me up with weird throws, but okay.
Okay, but it is impressive. So are you ready for this one?
I'm going to do it.
I have two.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. Since the Republican nominee for president is a renowned businessman, here is some business-based trivia. Okay. You ready? Obviously,
right.
I'm reading.
I smell Pam.
Okay. And not the spray.
Not the spray. Okay. Not the spray.
Pam Wentworth, very talented young
very
woman.
Very talented young woman.
Works with Jason Blumwell. Very talented.
And cannot ever make cookies lift off the sheet. Doesn't care.
It's impossible.
Right.
All right. He is the only president to hold an MBA And from which George university did he earn the degree? That was so easy, Jason. Obviously, it's George W. Bush.
Bush. Okay. That's it?
No, I have another one. This future president...
Because, by the way, an MBA is what you get when... anyway, all right, moving on.
Don't.
No, I'm not.
Don't. All right, this future president attended Stanford Business School but did not finish.
It's got to be... I know what the answer is. It must be Hoover.
No.
Really?
No.
It's not Hoover.
Well, I mean, obviously Hoover has the Hoover Institute at Stanford, so I'm assuming that he finished.
I've had their sandwiches. They're delicious.
And Keith Hennessy, good friend of ours. He is a teacher there.
I'm basically just in it for the sandwiches. So he had not a degree from Stanford?
This future president attended Stanford Business School, but he didn't finish it.
California.
Who would have gone to
should
California?
Should be Nixon, but I'll go Nixon.
Kennedy.
Really?
Yes.
JFK went to Stanford? That was back, and that was back when Stanford apparently was taking people from the East who were not qualified because he was not qualified.
Interesting. Are you going to be on television tonight?
Do you think we should be?
No, you are going to be on the special election coverage.
Yes. Do you think we should be?
Yeah, we're going to be on.
What should we do?
All night here from San Diego, which has been great.
Do you think we should be enthusiastic?
I'm totally enthusiastic.
Do you think that we should talk about America?
We're going to talk about America. And like, we're going to go talk
the whole
about,
time.
We could maybe read the Mark Twain book to everybody. Okay. We are here in San Diego. Chris really threw me off today. He was late. He's in a
mood. So much judgment.
And he is feeling very emotional
plucky.
About America.
Well, yes, I'm feeling plucky.
It's one of those nights.
Yes, quite so.
I agree. Well, it's been beautiful here in San Diego. We have a podcast that we haven't named yet. It's Dana Farino and Chris Steyerwald, and we are here at America's election headquarters. We'll see you next time.